Colonel Warburton, Reel 10. I'd like now to look at your role when you became Honorary Colonel, which was about 1966, or possibly a little earlier than that. But how did you become, how were you selected as Honorary Colonel to the South Ox Hussars?
I couldn't be sure of Vermont, I think, as much as anything else, amongst the senior officers. The ex-honorary colonels were alive,
and the existing CO, I would think, sources are between them, between themselves.
We always tried to keep the honorary colonels within the regiment. We never had, we never went outside the regiment to find an honorary colonel. Not like something where they go to the Queen or some general or something like that. We never did. We all tried to find our own. That's how Tim Richmond is now.
Now, what did it entail became one? What exactly was your role?
When I became Army Colonel, I made up my mind that I wouldn't interfere with the running of regiment in any way or form unless it went completely berserk.
Had your predecessor interfered? I mean, was that Colwell's Musters?
Charles Musters, no, he did absolutely, he didn't do anything, no, he didn't interfere at all. He still appeared at camp, and he appeared with them where the ball or anything like that. And any other public function, if we were marching through knocking on the armistice day and that sort of thing, used to appear at those sort of things. But as far as taking an active part in the regiment, we always get well clear.
So what was your job? I mean, did you exercise any influence behind the scenes in favour of the regiment? You know,
I think we were like sort of a grandfather to the regiment, I think, really. And they came to us, the colonel very often used to come to us and ask our advice on something.
What sort of thing?
If you want an opinion on some officer or some approach to some particular problem or anything that was worrying him. We all felt we were there as a long-stop safety valve sort of thing.
What did you think of Foreman Hardy, Tom Foreman Hardy, who was colonel in the first period? Did he do a good job as colonel?
Very good job, yes. He was very conscientious, extremely conscientious.
Did he move the unit forward from where you'd left it, or did it stagnate, or did you see any progression in what happened?
It certainly didn't go back, put it like that. He was very enthusiastic. He kept the thing going, and he had the means to do it. He had a lot of respect, but whether it was from the length of his pocket, I wasn't quite sure, because it was a fairly expensive one. But he certainly did a good job, put it like that.
And what about his replacement? The next colonel was Colonel Gunn. Hmm. What did you think of him?
Was he the colonel when they had the change of the role of the regiment? They all split it up or not? No, he was.
Would that be under Featherby? What did you think of Gunn anyway as colonel?
Great regard for James Gunn. I thought he was very good. And he was very, as far as I was concerned, he was very helpful because when I had been commanding and we wanted to reform the band, I put him in charge of the operation and he made a very good job of it.
Were there any changes in the unit that you were aware of at the time that you want to comment on? I mean, because during the 60s, the unit's role changed gradually, you know. As a civil defence role came in and things like
yes,
that.
Yes, well, that's that funny thing I was trying to know what it was called. I know it was a strange part of it. The regiment was hived off a troop or a battery or something for the civil defence business.
What did you think of that?
Not much.
Why not? What?
Well, which he commanded was our role, really. You, as artillery.
You wanted to...
But it was, had to be done. It was one of these things that had to be done. We obviously didn't like the idea of being caught up in civil sense. It was downgrading, as well, we thought at the time, anyway.
Were you aware of cuts? The general background of defence cuts.
Yes, we were indeed. Yes.
How did it affect the unit, would you say?
Well, 1 year we had a dreadful experience. I think it was when I was commanding, when all the council cancelled. First Labour government came in, I think. They cancelled all the council virtually at the last minute. And we had a round robin and we paid for it ourselves.
You mentioned that. Foreman Hardy,
yes,
I believe, played
a lot. I mentioned that because I always swore I wouldn't tell anybody. He told me, but he paid most of it.
What about in the 60s and 70s? How do you find defence? Were you aware of the effect of defence cuts?
Oh, yes, very much so, because I was ordinarily involved, but we had a lot of work for the GA Association. On the reorganisation of the things in our own county, and we were all continually sending letters off to, or at least the secretary, or the GA secretary was, but it was as a result of our sort of meetings that we had.
So you tended to operate at that level.
That sort of level, yes. I didn't really like interfering in any regimental matters at all.
What about? Featherby, Peter Featherby, I think it was. He became colonel after Colonel Gunn.
I was losing touch a little bit, except that I knew that he was in the line to be colonel because it was organised while I was there, and then we reinforced it with Tom. It was Tom Foreman Hardy. There was nobody else after James except Peter Featherby.
Now, you'd had a minor dispute over, you told me off tape. Can you tell us a story about the South Knot's place in the line? You had a minor dispute with Peter Featherby about the place in the line with the Sherwood Rangers. Can you tell that story on tape? Firstly, when you were in command.
I was in command there.
Now, that was the first time. Tell me what happened the first time, then tell me where Peter went wrong.
Some celebration for him when we had the entire territorial army of Nottinghamshire on parade on the forest at Gorwell, forest, you know, where Goose Fair is, on the forest fairground. A very large parade, and as we were RAT, we were right in the line in our proper place, followed by the Sherwood Rangers and the Sherwood Foresters and all the other units who were involved. Unfortunately, our band was not allowed to play because we were on a different key to the band who did play. I can't remember who that was either. But I know I was very fed up that our band couldn't play, and we were told that their instruments were off key to fit in.
Now, you'd had quite a dispute with the Sherwood Rangers, hadn't you?
Oh, well, not then, because there was no question of a dispute. They didn't get any chance to argue, really.
So you just told them?
Yes.
Now, the next time was when Peter Featherby was colonel. There was you found it wasn't right.
A similar parade, and I wasn't even there, but I heard that the Sherwood Rangers were on the right part of the line, and I took a very poor view of that, but it subsequently turned out that we were no longer RHA. That's the only way that it excused it.
Was RHA status important to you?
Well, it was, because it meant it was a senior unit. See, RHA, I'm right of the line, as you know, above everything. And I was determined that we were going to be the top regiment in Nottinghamshire. Well, we were not. We became second, and I didn't like that.
Were there any other issues that worried you during that time?
Yeah, I think that was the main worry. As I say, I didn't interfere. I merely said I was very disappointed, which I was.
What about Colonel Fetherby? What did you think of him, Peter Fetherby?
I think he was very able. He was a very able officer. But I didn't really have an awful lot of dealings with him. But he was quite an able chap.
When did you start to lose contact with direct contact with the unit, as opposed to a sort of benign overview?
Well, really, I almost lost contact as soon as I gave up command. You know, any real contact. I'm still in contact, but I mean, hardly ever. I still go to a dinner, and I still go to all the things that they have when I can.
But you don't have direct contacts
now?
No,
there's no direct. I don't go to the adjutant's office and stop.
How do you feel about developments in the 70s, 80s and 90s, you know?
Well,
because it's now no longer a regiment, it's a battery.
It's a battery,
what do you feel about that?
Well, I suppose we ought to be grateful that we've even got a battery, because so many regiments have gone to the war altogether. But we are affiliated to the 1st RHA even now. And I think that's a very strong point in our favour for keeping on.
You were saying off tape some of the problems of just being a battery, of being on your own. Could you just expand on that on the tape a little?
Well, we haven't got the facilities, we haven't got the backup, we haven't got the permanent staff. And see, we had quite a large permanent staff when I was commanding the thing. There's something about 20 people altogether, remotes and people like that. But then if we have tanks and all that sort of jazz. And now I don't know what they've got at the moment even, but they have got new guns. They are getting, but they are guns, you see. They're pulled behind a four-wheel thing.
What about things like the introduction of women into the, because I mean they have women officers, women.
It was a shock to me because I didn't know that was happening until I went to a dinner or something and found a female officer, and then I discovered they've got quite a number of people.
How did you feel about that? Was it a positive thing for you or a negative thing?
I could see it had its points, but I couldn't see it happening in war. I couldn't see them remaining in the regiment if you were in the war. In line. I don't think it would be feasible at all.
But that's the intention, isn't it?
I don't know. But I think that would be an embarrassment to troops from every point of view.
What about any other modern innovations that you would like to comment on? I think that the change in status of the officer class, because they're not the same type of people. Could you talk about that?
The whole running of the, especially the artillery, now, it's so automated now. I mean, we were practically bows and arrows compared with the modern techniques. See, I don't think I could fire a gun now, not using all, because I wouldn't know how to work the machines, the computers and things.
And what about the changes in the officers? Because you were saying that they've changed the social class of the officers.
Well, it seems to have changed. Imagination. But, I think now they're more technically minded than anything else. Yeah, more on the electronics, all that sort of thing.
What about their actual origins have changed? You were saying, if you could talk about that on tape.
They're going to get being drummed out of the place. But they all think I'm an awful shit.
I don't think so. What about, I mean, you have noticed that the officers have changed.
Yes, they have.
In what way?
Well, in some ways they're more serious than we were, but they have to be. You know, they have to be quite bright now to work down and things.
Would you say that their social class has changed? Are they still the sons of the great families of Nottingham, or are they
No, they're not, really, I'm afraid. I don't receive any sons in their families and nothing. It's very strange. They haven't been for some time.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing, would you say? Or both?
Depends on who they are, doesn't it? Really, some of those people worked like blacks and were very good. And some weren't so good. And of course, it's the same with all of them. If you get some fellow with a very, very spectacular electronics, he might be completely hopeless with the men and things.
They seem to recruit more the officers from the Nottingham High School now. Is that, would you say that's true?
They've also had a lot of people in the regiment, but they weren't all officers. And there have always been a few high schools. It's quite a good high school. It isn't like a, you know, it's quite a superior sort of place. But it certainly isn't like a public school, but it's knocking on the door, you know. Not like some of them. Some of them really are awful rag shops, I think.
Are your contacts, I mean, you're still a member of the Regimental Association, are your contacts with the regiment still important to you?
Yes, very much so, yes. Yes, I'm still on the old Comrades Committee, but I never go to the meetings. They all send me a copy of the minutes, and I always try and thank them, and that's it.
And what about your other units? Are you a member of the Essex Yeomanry Regimental Association,
yes,
or the Sherwood?
Yes, Yeomanry and the Sherwood Rangers and the Grenadier Guards.
Why the Grenadier Guards?
Well, they were asked, but I was invited to become a vice president of the Grenadier Guards Association in Nottingham. So I said, well, I've never been near the Guard, and I was sick of the start putting my name forward. But if you write a book it forward, you can do, and as soon as it gets up to London, it'll get crossed out, and that'll be there. But not a bit of it. It'll look up to London saying they'd be delighted to hear to join them, and there I am. I go to their annual dinner, and down to the in Nottingham with a five. And the driver I have to drive me about is an ex-Grenadier Guardsman.
Thank you very much.